All right. The creation-evolution controversy we've talked about is not a controversy for many today because many just assume that evolution is true and they refuse to admit or even discuss the possibility of creation. So this evening we're talking about the concept of the fact that the world around us is suppressing the truth that is clearly revealed in God's Word. So just to kind of review, we know from the world around us saying over and over and over again that the universe exploded into existence, but there were no scientists that were there to see that happen. So the Bible has a completely different idea of how things came into existence, and that is that God created the universe and all that is in it, and God was there to see it happen, and He recorded for us that entire process, which we went through day one, day two, and on until finally God said, that is good. And He rested in His creation. So we see from Scripture in Romans chapter 1 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them so that they are without excuse. So all that God created is enough for God to hold mankind accountable for what they believe about creation, about how things came into being. But the world does not want to admit there is a creator God. Because if there is a God who created heavens and earth, then if He created us, then we should probably want to know what He expects of His creation, which makes us subservient to, makes us accountable to the one who created us. And we don't want to be accountable as human beings. We don't want anybody over us. We want to be on the top of the totem pole. We want to be the ones in charge. And that is what mankind has endeavored to do by suppressing what is revealed from all eternity past. God has made this evident so that man is without excuse. So, when you look around us, we see evidence of this kind of suppression all the time. And that's what we just talked about. They refuse to even talk about the possibility of creation. But even beyond that, they refuse to talk about the possibility of intelligent design. So what's the difference between what we read in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, and the idea of intelligent design? Any ideas? Right. It's basically just looking at the world around us and saying, there is too much order. There is too much that is absolutely specific and intentional about creation, the way everything works together, the seasons, the cycles, the astronomy. It's just amazing what God has put into the universe to show His handiwork. And intelligent design isn't saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's just saying, okay, this didn't come out of a big bang. This didn't come accidentally. There is a designer behind the design, and that's all intelligent design is saying. But academics will not allow the idea of an intelligent designer into the thinking process because evolution in their thinking has explained away the need for anything beyond mankind. We are all that exists. And what happens? We're on the top of the power structure. Yeah. And that's the truth of the situation is that whether you look through a telescope or through a microscope, you can see the infinite creativity of God in those things. So some basic terms to kind of familiarize yourself with. Number one is evolution with a small e. That is a series of related changes that develop gradually. So we have our friend Charles Darwin, who goes on the USS Beagle or whatever it was, that he goes to the Galapagos Islands on a scientific research journey. And he goes to these islands and he finds all of this life that is very different from one island to the next, because there's different food sources, there's different environmental features and geographical structures. So there's different kinds of life on each island. And he finds, in particular, some little finches, some little birds. And he noted that in those finches, based upon the type of food that was available, their beaks and some of the other features of the birds were radically different. They had small e, evolved, that is a small series of related changes over gradual time, to adapt to their environment. That I believe in. I get small e evolution, that we adapt to our environment as human beings. I mean, when my nephew came down, he's a big, strong guy, wrestler, football player, and we started throwing watermelons, he was done like that, because he was from Kansas, and they don't have that kind of humidity down up there. So when he came down here, he was out of his element. Now, we were doing fine, but even with his ability, he wasn't adapted to the environment. So small e evolution, I get completely. I agree with that. But then there's big E evolution, that is naturally occurring process that produces changes from less complex to more complex over extended periods of time. That is impossible. That is something that is absolutely accepted as being true. You've heard the idea of cavemen, that we came from people who were in between apes and people, and they lived in caves and were just kind of Neanderthal, very uneducated, unskilled, just basically almost an ape, but not quite a human. That never happened. God created Adam firing on all cylinders. Adam, on his worst day, would make any of us pale in comparison to his intellectual and physical capabilities. We have devolved to where we are today. We have not evolved over millions of years from a single cell organism to what you see before you today. It is impossible. Small e evolution is called microevolution. That's been observed and proven. You can look at languages. Do languages evolve? Oh, yeah. Gay used to mean you were happy. Now that's changed. It's a completely different meaning. Languages evolve. Cultures evolve. Is our culture the same as it was 20 years ago? It's not the same as it was 20 minutes ago. Breeds of animals evolve. For example, when you look at all the dogs that are available to love and adore in the world today, those all came from two animals that were on the ark, a male and a female. All the varieties are from that parent group. That happens. Small e evolution, microevolution happens. Big E evolution or macro evolution has neither been observed nor proven, because it can't happen. when you look at the scientific processes that are necessary for, number one, life to exist at all, no one has ever in the scientific community created life. Life is an incredibly rare commodity. It hasn't been found anywhere in the universe except here. And you think that just happens? We haven't been able to do it as long as we've been trying and thinking about it. So big E evolution can't happen, because what is necessary to evolve from less complex to more complex, there's no mechanism for that. The only mechanism that they would suggest is mutation. And we'll get into that a little bit later. So, some more basic terms. Science is the total collection of knowledge gained by man's observation of the physical world around him that can be, and this is important, observed, tested, and repeated by others. So that is a very simple definition of what science is. So what science is what we have gained by observing the world around us, coming up with a test to see, well, if this happened once, what happens if I do it again? Does the same thing happen? Okay, good. Now, George, you live over there. Why don't you try this test that I did? And if you come up with the same results that I did, then we come up with a theory or a law. Now, doing that is science. The problem is that science can't tell you how something came into being, like the universe. Creationism is religion, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the foundational tenet of the Bible, that God, and notice that the Bible never goes to any lengths to try and prove the existence of God. It just says God was in the beginning, and he did it. So creationism is religion. You can't teach creationism in public schools because it's religion, and evolution is, quote unquote, science. So can evolution be observed? No, we can't see anything happening, changing from a less complex to a more complex thing over any amount of time that we've been able to observe. We can't test that, and we certainly can't repeat it. So no. So if you can't prove something scientifically, then it requires a measure of faith to believe that it's true. And that means that evolutionism is religion, because you have to take it by faith that those things are true. So this brings us to the discussion of worldviews. A worldview is the way that you look at the world. So, the worldviews of creationism and evolutionism, and by the way, they get really consternated when you use the word evolutionism, because they prefer just evolution, because an ism is a belief, not a fact. So when you think about just the basic tenets of life, what is eternal in creationism? God is eternal. In evolutionism, matter is eternal. So all the matter in the universe, they say, when you back everything up to the Big Bang, existed in a very small infinitesimal dot for eternity, as far as we know. So matter is the only thing that's eternal in evolutionism. How did the universe begin? Creationism would say, created by God. Evolutionism would say, chance. The Big Bang. So the only reason that we are here is something exploded and we accidentally ended up starting that evolutionary process. How did man get here? Creationism would say that he was created specially by God. And that has enormous implications for society. Because if we are created specially by God, then we have worth according to Scripture because we are created in His image. If that is not true, then where does our worth come from if we are just another link in the train, as evolutionism would say? If we are just another part of the process of evolution, we don't have any worth in and of ourselves other than how we can benefit the culture around us. So what is man's relationship to the earth? And again, this has incredible implications. Creationism, we would be the caretaker and steward of the world. God put us here to take care of the world that we see around us. In evolutionism, man is a parasite that needs to be managed. That's why China doesn't allow families to have any more than two children. Is it two children or one? Yeah. Yeah, they ran out of people, so they had to up it a little bit. But China, they have a limited amount of space, so they're thinking, well, we can't have people just, you know, procreating at will, but we have to manage the population. And that's a frightening thought. If we are simply a parasite on quote-unquote Mother Earth, then we are the problem. Earth is the solution that needs to be protected. So environmentalism, from an evolutionary standpoint, we need to be taken all the way back to the Stone Age because we're using up resources at a phenomenal rate and shortening the ability of mankind to survive on this planet. By the way, that's why Elon Musk has been trying to get to Mars. That's what he's doing all this rocket stuff for, is he wants to colonize Mars. Why? Because we're going to run out of resources here. We need someplace else to go. So these have incredible implications for the way we use our resources, for the way we look at mankind itself. So when we look at our purpose, and isn't that what people are asking all the time? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Creationism, life has purpose. God placed us here as stewards of His creation, and He has a plan for our life. We are put here to bring glory to God by using all of the faculties and the creativeness that God has put within us to bring glory to Him. Now, evolutionism has no purpose. You live, you love, and then you die. That's it. And how frightening must it be for someone with an evolutionary perspective to have this concept of purpose so fuzzy? Because if purpose is just what you can get out of life, what happens if you get everything you can get? What happens if you're a billionaire and you're still not happy? What do you do then? You can buy anything, go anywhere, do anything, and you still don't have a sense of peace. How much would you pay for that? Well, luckily, it's free. So, when you have creation as the foundation of your worldview, if creation is the bottom line for how you look at the world and life, then life has purpose to bring glory to God. You have absolutes where there's right and wrong. Everything is just not just a muddled gray. There's actual right and wrong, black and white. There are standards. There are things that you can say are absolutely wrong. And there is responsibility. We are responsible to the God who created us. So we have the meaning of life if creation is at our foundation and God is at the helm. He is above all else. So if evolution is the foundation of your worldview, there's no purpose. There's no absolutes. Why would we say that there is absolute truth when we can make truth be whatever we want it to be today? It might be something else tomorrow. There are no standards. You can't tell me what to do. And there's no responsibility. And life becomes utterly meaningless with evolution at the foundation of life, because man is not big enough to give himself purpose. We are much too small to have an eternal purpose wrapped up in ourselves. We find our purpose wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. So, we believe evolution, the evolutionist would say, because we must believe evolution, because we have to keep man at the top of the pecking order. So, can we see intelligent design in creation? Obviously, this mountainside, over millions of years of wind, rain, and erosion, has formed these obviously familiar faces on the side of this mountain. Okay. No, you look at that mountain and you think, that might have been on purpose. Somebody might have had an idea behind the way that looks today. So could life have happened by chance? It's estimated that the chances of life accidentally ending up where we are today are about the same as a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a Boeing 747. That seems unlikely. If you think about just taking a watch, and all of the pieces to the watch are put into a bag, how long would you have to shake that bag to make that watch work? You're not going to do that. Even if you have all the necessary pieces there, it takes intention, it takes design, it takes intellect to make that work. And that is the downfall of evolution, is that they would say that evolution is kind of its own brain. Like it knows what the animal needs or the person needs, so it's just going to develop this over millions of years. But there's no design. Right? And that's an interesting study, and I'd love for you to go and look up creatures that defy evolution. Actually, if you go to Right Now Media on our church account, you can find some of those videos, and it's truly amazing. Some of them are just astounding. One of them that's kind of simple is the giraffe. Yeah, Job Martin. Yeah. But basically the giraffe has a heart that can pump blood all the way up the neck to the brain. So the things that are in place along the neck are little valves. Because what would happen if the heart that can do that and push blood that far up the neck into the brain of the giraffe, what happens when he gets a drink of water? So there's little valves all the way down the neck that would restrict the blood flow so that it doesn't blow his brains out. So if you have this situation where the giraffe has got that long neck down drinking and he brings the head up, what happens? He's going to pass out because he doesn't have any blood supply because he just had it closed. Well, there's a sponge-like membrane around the brain in the giraffe that absorbs blood, and then until he can get back upright, it actually contracts to keep blood around the brain until it can get everything going again. How in the world would that accidentally evolve? Another one to look up is absolutely unbelievable. It's called the bombardier beetle. It is unbelievable. It's just this little beetle that can mix two caustic chemicals. There's two little sacs that it has inside of its body that contain these caustic chemicals separately. And then, if he's threatened, he contracts those sacs and puts both of those chemicals into a combustion chamber. And then there's another catalyst that it shoots into that combustion chamber. And when all of those things combine, it shoots out a liquid at the boiling point of water to ward off enemies. How is that going to happen without that beetle just blowing up? Think about all the things that have to be in place for that to work. Yeah, there would be millions of bombardier beetles blown to bits before that was perfected. So the idea that life evolved over millions of years is highly untenable. It is incredibly difficult to accept that at face value. But we have to remember that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. All the stuff we've been talking about, so that they are without excuse. So, the truth is evident. They suppress the truth because they do not want to be responsible to God. They have to keep themselves at the top of that pyramid so that they're not responsible for their conduct. The best way to suppress something is to pretend that it doesn't exist. So if God doesn't exist, if God is dead, then we don't have to worry about what he thinks and what he says. We can make truth what we want it to be today. Whatever fits our needs. Kind of reminds you of a condition that the world was in at one point, where every man did what was right in his own eyes and the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. What happened as a result of that situation? God destroyed that world that was with a flood, because there was the thoughts and intentions of their hearts were only evil. Can you imagine living in that type of culture where there was no good will toward men? Didn't exist. So they pretend that God doesn't exist with their presuppositions. Now, a presupposition is what you believe beforehand. So before you ever start thinking about this concept of origins and where we came from, there's some things that you hold true before you even start the conversation. Facts assumed to be true without needing evidence to prove them. Presupposition. These are facts that are assumed to be true without needing evidence to prove them. Another presupposition, and that filters through which all observations are interpreted. So the way that they look at a fact is filtered through all of those presuppositions. Every belief system has its own presuppositions. Nobody comes to the table with a blank slate. Everybody's got these ideas that they believe beforehand. Evolutionist Dr. Harrison Matthews has this quote: "The fact of evolution is the backbone of biology, and biology is thus in the peculiar position of being a science founded on an unproved theory. Belief in the theory of evolution is thus exactly parallel to belief in special creation. Both are concepts which believers know to be true, but neither up to the present has been capable of proof. So this evolutionist understands the difficulty that there is in explaining the universe that is through evolutionary terms. He believes in the fact of evolution, but he also admits that there really isn't a way to come to a scientific proof that it is true. Evolutionist Stephen Jay Gould from Harvard says the absence of fossil evidence for intermediary stages between major transition in organic design, indeed our inability, even in our imagination, to construct functional intermediates in many cases, has been a persistent and nagging problem for evolution. So, intermediary stages. Remember we were talking about the Neanderthals that were kind of between the apes and the people? What do we call that? The missing link. Why is it missing? If it took millions of years and we have all of these millions of fossils of this type of animal and this type of animal, and we know from evolutionary sources that that animal evolved into this animal, why aren't there half and halfers? Why isn't there an intermediary stage between the two types if it took millions of years to get there? Why don't we have any examples of that? If lizards evolved into birds, why don't we have lizard birds? Evolutionist Dr. Lyle Watson. The fossils that decorate our family tree are so scarce that there are still more scientists than specimens. The remarkable fact is that all the physical evidence we have for human evolution can still be placed with the room to spare inside a single coffin. So there is obviously some lacking of evidence, scientifically speaking. And this is from the evolutionist viewpoint. Again, Dr. Ernst Mayr says, since Darwin, every knowing person agrees man descended from the apes. Today, there is no such thing as the theory of evolution. It is the fact of evolution. So it's amazing that they have these inabilities to scientifically back up what they say, but yet it is a fact instead of just a theory. Dr. T.N. Tasmussen, scientists who go about teaching that evolution is a fact of life are great con men, and the story they are telling may be the greatest hoax ever. In explaining evolution, we do not have one iota of fact. So you can see that there are some people who believe in evolution that acknowledge this is a huge area of uncertainty. We don't have the information backing up the claims that they're so confident in. DMS Watson, the theory of evolution itself is a theory universally accepted not because it can be proved by logical, coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative is special creation, which is clearly incredible. So it's very, very difficult to find people that will actually go on record and say, we don't have enough information for this, but it's there. So man would say, we believe evolution because we must believe evolution. Because man wants to be in charge at top of the food chain. What does God say in Isaiah 45, verses 18 and 21? For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I'm the Lord and there is none else. There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. So God doesn't share his spot with anyone. There is no room at the top of the power structure for the universe alongside of God. He formed the earth and he made it to be inhabited. So God put all the resources that are necessary for mankind to flourish on the earth for as long as he's going to be here. So we don't have to keep from using up the resources. We need to be good stewards of them. We need to be conscientious and take care of the world that God has blessed us with. But the earth is not more important than the people on it. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So how effective has evolution been in giving people an opportunity not to believe in Jesus Christ? It has been an incredible tool, because any time you agree with an evolutionist in an academic setting and in many social settings, you're right in line. You're par for the club. If you don't, you are an unknowing person. You're an idiot. And many people aren't going to be willing to put themselves in that category as not going along with what everyone else believes. There was a study done where a college class was kind of a test group, and everyone in the group was in on the test except for one guy. And everyone in the group was told to answer B to one question when the answer was obviously A, like ridiculously obviously A. So what happened? The question is asked, how many think it's B? His hand goes up. How many think it's A? He changed his answer. Why? Well, if that many people believe it, then it must be true. Well, all of the world's greatest scientists once believed that the earth was flat. So that's really not proof of truth, is it? Just because the majority of scientists are saying something doesn't mean it's absolutely true. We have to go by God's word first, and science isn't the problem. It's scientists and their presuppositions that exclude the possibility of God that are creating the illusion of God's non-existence. Something that I would love for you to look up is the fine-tuning of the universe. It is truly, truly magnificent when you look at the world around us and you see how specific everything that is has to be in order for life to exist. The electromagnetic coupling constant that binds electrons and protons in atoms. If that were smaller, fewer electrons could be held. If it was larger, electrons would be held too tightly to bond with other atoms. So atoms are the building blocks of life. And if that electromagnetic coupling strength was different at all, the atom would either fly apart or wouldn't be able to bond with other atoms. It's perfect to build life as we know it. Electromagnetic and gravitational forces are finely tuned so that the right kind of star can be stable in the universe. Our sun is just the right color. If it was a little bit redder or bluer, then photosynthetic response would be weaker. What is photosynthesis? That's the process of plants taking in energy from the sun to grow. And that process is only working because of the color that the sun is. And that is absolutely perfect. The Earth's distance from the sun is crucial for a stable water cycle. Too far away, most water would freeze. Too close, the water would boil. We are exactly in the right position in the universe for life to exist, not by accident, but by God's creative hand. The Earth's gravity, its axial tilt, rotation period, magnetic field, crust thickness, oxygen-nitrogen ratio, carbon dioxide, water vapor, ozone levels are just right to support life. All of those things have to work together. If one of those things is off, we don't exist. Life does not exist. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And that's my hope in our time together through this study, is that we are equipped to be able to give a defense of Scripture. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that works. There is a logical explanation looking at Scripture to explain how the world came to be the way it is. It makes sense. And yet, if you do the right thing the wrong way, that makes it the wrong thing. Just because we know the truth, we can also be belligerent and arrogant and condemnatory instead of being gentle and reverent in our approach. It doesn't matter that we win the argument if they lose their soul. So there's two deadly questions when it comes to these encounters. Number one is, how do you know that to be true? Because you'll just go back to, well, this scientist or that guy or someone else said, it's just hearsay. The biggest question is, what happens if you're wrong and you die? What happens if I'm wrong and evolution is right? Well, I lived a healthy, productive, caring lifestyle. I contributed to my culture. I was a benefit, not a pariah on society. And in the end, it doesn't make any difference. I was actually better off because I was a Christian and believed that the Bible was true than I would be if there was no purpose except for making me happy, because all that happens then is I step on people. What happens if someone who believes in evolution, though they might be a wonderful person, what happens if they're wrong? They spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And I hope we're not okay with that. And that's why we need to have a defense for the hope that's within us, yet with gentleness and reverence, because we want to be able to convince them, to win them by our arguments without being confrontational about it. Because what happens when you're confronted? You fight back. So what we can do, instead of just saying you need to get saved or you're going to go to hell, is we need to ask questions and really actually understand these truths and the lack of evidence to support what they're saying, and ask them to explain where they got where they are. Because people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And if they don't know that we care, they don't care that we know Jesus. So that is the greatest tool that we have, is to enter into their world and try to understand how they got where they are. Because if truly they're pursuing truth, who are they going to find? If they're truly pursuing truth and not just trying to prop up their worldview, they're going to find Jesus because he is truth. So futile speculations are going to be what we're talking about next time. But do you have any questions or observations about what we talked about tonight? Scripture is very clear that no one can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draws him. So what we really need to be focusing on is not winning an argument, but praying that the Holy Spirit would soften their heart to understand their need of Jesus Christ. Because we don't even have the ability to want to trust in Christ outside of him drawing us to himself. So it's a process of relationship building so that we have the ability to speak into their life when they don't have answers, because we do. Very good point. Anything else? Right, well, that was very clear or very confusing, one or the other. All right, let's pray. Definitely be in prayer for the Bertrand family. Rhonda Bertrand has passed away in her battle with COVID. So we want to keep Waylon and the family in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your son to die in our place. And we thank you that we can trust in that as a historical truth. And as we understand that historical truth, we have spiritual life through your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we're able to communicate that to those that would be willing to listen. I pray that you give us wisdom in how we speak. But Lord, help us to speak. Thank you for our time together. And we pray for the family of Rhonda. We pray that you'd give them comfort and peace in this very, very difficult time. We pray for your hand of comfort to uphold them, and may they truly be able to experience the peace that passes all understanding, because it's not within them, but it's from you that we experience peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I saw something the other day that they were talking about aliens.
Did it get too hot again?
No, I was talking. But they were talking about aliens.
Yeah.
Tampering with human DNA. That's what made the leap from aliens.
Yeah. But all that does is kick the can down the road, because now we're... Take care, Barry. Now we're believing in something else that we can't prove.
Yeah. And then they were also saying that God, they were acknowledging God, but they were saying God was an alien that kicked off the Big Bang.
Yep, that's just trying very, very hard to not give God any credit. Well, did you get anything accomplished today?
Here or there.
Just a little bit, huh?
A little bit. We got the ceiling and the wall put back together in the camper. I'm trying a different method on patching the roof. I got up there and I smeared the tar roof layer. And then I cut a piece of blue tar and I laid it into it. And now we're going to come over the top of that with some more.
Oh.
And see if it'll do something like a fiberglass repair. The tarp's already going to keep it from leaking. And that bonded and got tar in there and over it. And then it may be a good thing.
As long as it keeps the rain off your head, that's the main thing.
And I got started a while ago putting tires on the train.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you doing that.
I did find one of them that's got some boards that were a little rotten inside. I'll go ahead and pick it up. I just may not want to play in that one.
Well, that might be a workday project. I can show somebody where it is and which one is it all?
It's the one that I put tires on right now.
Okay. Well, if you put it on the end, that way I'll know exactly which one. And that way we can unhook it if we don't get it fixed.
I got your bolts to hook them together. Your tires, your tire beams. It should be rock and roll. Although somebody took a hammer and hit on the axle, so I had to pull the whole axle out to get the wheels off on the axle. There's a method to get it off the
radio. Gotcha. Yep. That works.
I'm going to go try to get those done. My energy level is dropping drastically.
Oh, I can imagine. That heat'll do it for you.
I had to get the girls come out there and help me with some part of the ceiling. Okay, I got a hole. I got to run a bar through for the light.
Yeah.
And when you got to hold it up there and shoot her nails into it, it's like 2 hands just is not enough.
Yeah, you need just do all you want.
Now you see, if it would be an evolution thing, maybe I could evolve.
You need it. You needed the third hand, so I don't know what the holdup is. Well, I appreciate you coming.
I'm actually enjoying this topic here, and I'm very disappointed that I'm going to have to do it basically by
Friday. Yeah, well, you can get it on the website, too.
Right.
Not Facebook, on the church website. It's on there too. Now it's not video, it's audio and it's the slides. So you can follow along that way. So it's not, you don't see me, but you can hear the slides.
Okay.
That'd be a good way to do it.
How are you doing?
I'm going
home. Yeah, you can use it that way or on Facebook.
Yeah. I'll see which way works best.
If you want to go on Sunday or whatever.
See, over there, I don't have a real good signal. And I'm not going to have
they
to
have anyone who comes in, they may get here
for the short time
from
that I'm planning on being there.
9, 8:30 to
right at 10. Find their rig. I have a plan.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And they're telling me it should.
Yeah, but some of those that drive from all get here a little early because they leave early.
Really?
Something happens.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they don't come in and eat all of them. They just trickle.
Facebook's problem is that for some reason my phone has been overheating. I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's some background apps or something running on the
equipment.
But it's been cutting off instead of finishing out the thing. So I'll have to do some tinkering and see if I can
print it all on a piece of paper.
I was going to tell you, probably use my phone for it. But
that'd be a long trip.
Makes it a little hard,
huh? Yeah, long distance.
I got to check out of the hotel in the morning.
All right. This just came up very unexpectedly. Busy.
Morning.